All right, all right, all right. Good morning. It is Wednesday. We are live, the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. And as has become customary for a Wednesday, I've decided to bring in people I actually know from my real life and have them sit here with us so we talk a whole lot of shit. And this morning, that's precisely the agenda, is that we're going to talk a whole lot of shit. So I hope you're ready to do that and have some fun with us. James and Flex producing the show, doing excellent work as always in the production booth. They say that it's so cold in there with the air conditioning now, they have to cuddle each other, which is slightly worrying, but I don't know. When one of them lays a sexual harassment charge, that's when we'll start getting worried. Here with me this morning is someone who I see every now and then. We don't see each other as much, but we've spent a lot of time actually in each other's company. He's none other than Joe Mann, and you may recognize him from Jacaranda.
Yeah.
94.2, you do the afternoons.
Yeah, I do the sports in the afternoon. I mean, I was on Metro FM for a long
Metro,
time.
Metro, we met at 5 years.
Yeah, that was actually 20 years ago.
Jesus.
2004, that was
nothing like nothing like being old, huh?
Just to start the show off, just to remind you how old we are.
Yeah. My business partner's got a kid. He said to him on a video call we were doing the other day, the kid comes in, he's like, "You two are so old," but he's like, he means it for me, right?
Yeah, okay.
Like, "You're old." I was like, Jesus, okay. If the kid starts calling you that.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm sitting here with my laptop open with the stuff that the last things that I had on.
But you can't see it, really.
Yeah. Fortunately for the people, you can't see like what's on my laptop. But I've got applications for high schools. That means I'm going to have two kids in high school.
Jesus, Joe, you got two kids heading to high school.
Two kids in high school, and I'm having to do the applications myself, which is also a little bit disconcerting for me because I'm not really an admin person, or you like to tell yourself things like that. But no, I'm not really an admin person.
Yeah, I know.
I'm in the industry. I'm too cool to do admin until you got kids that are in high school.
Well,
and you have to fill
congrats
out.
Congrats for raising them to semi-adulthood. I mean, listen, this is already considering. You know, the way most kids are raised in this country, you've done a damn fine job.
well, that's the thing. I mean,
take the win.
And their birthday, when one of their birthdays is coming up, and I always tell them that I actually count their birthdays in terms of the debit orders that they've cost me.
Yes. Good.
So, yeah. So basically, or whatever you're turning, like you're 16, but you times that by 12, and that's how many months I've managed to keep you alive and stay in a job and basically just like, yeah, try and raise you to be decent people. And keep
well,
off the pole.
I have no doubt that your children are decent people. but it is nice to have you here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Did you have to get permission or anything to come and hang out in this ridiculous and wild show? Or were they okay with it?
Well, I mean, I had to ask. I mean, I thought that it would be just a normal thing. But, you know, because you work for like a big corporation that's
yeah,
got a
big
corporation.
Yeah, media company. Yeah, sure, I understand.
And they had to make sure that they had to tell me that, you know, I mustn't say anything that would put the company into disrepute. And you know, well, I mustn't let me slip into things that, you know, giving away trade secrets and such.
You're like, you are so stupid. You're just going to like hand over all the trade secrets. And Joe's like, so what are you guys planning? What is your like forecast for the next 6 months? And how are you going to be adapting the radio station? Please. Like,
well, I mean, we actually had a station meeting yesterday with someone that you know very well, Nick Grubb. I mean, he's the CEO of the company.
Nick Grubb. Okay, well, I mean, Nick was my boss at 5FM for a while.
Yeah.
And he's still your boss.
He's still my boss, right. Yeah. So I still say the monthly prayer, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for Nick Grubb, for when I get paid on the 25th of every month.
Do you rub your stomach when you say it? Oh, Nick Grubb.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen. He was among the better management that I had.
Yeah.
I had some terrible people running things there.
Speaking of which,
he was better. I'm not saying he was fantastic. I'm just saying he was better. You don't have to say a thing.
Okay. I was going to mention someone else who was there when you were at the SABC, Dali Mpofu. I mean, how do you?
Oh, no. Listen, Dali won that one. The only court case he's ever won, he won for me. So I'm okay with Dali Mpofu, huh? I'm fine with him. He's a terrible lawyer by everyone's. Everyone says he's the worst advocate. Judges are saying he's like amateurish and shit. Like he got the most terrible reprimand from the bench the other day.
Yeah.
Handed down like you had to clean your shit up, basically.
Like
terrible lawyer.
Try and win something. But he wasn't he the CEO of the SABC
for
at
me,
the time?
Hey, dude, for me, he was a great CEO of the SABC. Yeah. Never interfered in a thing. For me, he was a terrific advocate when I had that case against Mnet and won.
Yeah.
And I was happy to be the one case that he won.
Well, thrilled. I mean, that's how you'll go down in history as the one case that Dali Mpofu managed to win.
Like most things in South Africa, it's when you team up, when you have like Indians, blacks, whites all working together, shit just goes beautifully.
Like Kilani, basically. I mean,
Kilani.
The Middle East can learn a lot from Kilani. Right.
Oh, speaking of the Middle East, I see South Africa is dragging itself to another international criminal court or Hague or human rights court or something situation. I just want to warn our government, and I mean, I'm saying this as a citizen of this country.
Yeah.
You guys just better not have pagers or beepers or anything on you anytime soon, because tell you what, have you noticed how quiet the Ayatollah is? That Ayatollah is not, he's not using his toaster. He's not using his fucking kettle.
Well,
he's not using a phone. That guy hasn't been on the internet for months. He's like,
I'm not touching anything.
If Mossad have been anywhere in any of my electronics, it's overs.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, our governments are old enough to use pages and to remember how to use pages in the first place as well. Because, I mean, I think we've got guys that are still there from like 1999, maybe. So, I mean,
isn't Jeff Hadebe still hanging around too?
Yeah.
He was part of the first administration. That was 30 years ago.
Actually, I mean, I have random thoughts, like wondering where guys like Jay Naidu are. Like, who was the minister without portfolio?
Yeah, Jay Naidu, I think he's running, and this is not a joke. He's running some kind of mindfulness retreat.
Oh.
Like out in the Magaliesberg, where people, I don't know, take mushrooms or whatever.
Okay.
And then they find God. I'm not even joking. Like, I think that's what Jay Naidu is doing now.
Okay.
So you asked, and I actually have an answer. I mean, like, the one person you
The one person
about,
I could have thought about.
If you asked me about, like, I don't know, Tokyo Sekhwale, I mean, I saw him like 3 years ago. But other guys from that era, who knows?
You wouldn't know. But I mean, but also, like, I mean, as a person, what do you say to your children that, like, this is what I did at work today when you are the minister without portfolio? Where do you tell your driver to go? I'm a minister, but, like, you know, I'm going to work, and then I just spin.
And you have an empty folder. You have an empty folder. What are you the minister of? Not portfolio. Look, my folder's empty. Oh, Jesus.
I just like going around to other ministries and just checking up on people. I'm the minister of checking up on shit.
Janine says, Joe Man, wow, it's been years. Great to see you. Patrick says, I won't be surprised if Trump rips up AGOA. This government will cry. He won't. Republican governors and presidents have been better for South Africa than Democrats. And even non-fans of the Republicans will say that. It's been a very good thing for South Africa. George W. Bush, by the way. Breaking news this morning.
Yes.
This is very important. Joe and I were talking about it just before the show started. For those of you who may be Americans voting from South Africa, or if you watch this show for your politics, in which case I'm worried about you, Barbara Bush came out this morning and endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
Hey, now.
Barbara Bush. So I feel like that's what we were all waiting for. I feel like until this moment, I've been very 50-50 in my head.
Yeah.
Been like, Kamala, Donald, Kamala, Donald. But now that Barbara Bush has said she's supporting Kamala, it's easy for me.
Well, I mean, that's also the youth vote that you want, exactly.
Yeah, Barbara Bush, yeah.
Exactly. That's, I mean, she speaks to the youth. She speaks
for
to,
sure.
You know, say no to drugs and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. She was the wife of George W. Bush.
Who's
and
mom-in-law.
Or is she the daughter? Because, again, it gets confusing. George W. Bush's mother, who's now deceased, I think.
Yes.
She was Barbara Bush. She was married to the first Bush.
George Bush. Yeah, she was the one who came up with the drugs are bad, say no to drugs.
Yeah, she had the, like, Golden Girls hair. Remember her?
Well, I suppose everyone did in those days, yeah.
She used to wear dresses with the pearls.
Yeah.
And she had the curly, poofy hair.
The pearl
then,
necklace
then
and the
George
poofy
W.
hair.
Married... It wasn't Barbara. Barbara's the daughter, I'm telling you.
I think we have to try and figure this out. I think
James, pull up a family tree of the Bushes. We could be busy all day. Who knew that there's so many Bushes in America that we needed to pay attention to? But just in case. And I see Jeff Bezos is in big trouble.
Okay.
With his staff at the Washington Post, which they call the Washington Compost, by the way. Washington Post, nobody's in any doubt that they are very left-leaning. They love Kamala Harris. They hate Donald Trump. I mean, there hasn't been a positive article about Trump in the entire history of that newspaper, or him, and they're both old.
Yeah.
Okay, the newspaper was established in the 30s, and so was Donald Trump.
And so was he, exactly. So
no one's really in any kind of doubt about how that newspaper feels about the election.
Yeah.
But Jeff Bezos owns it. So he went out in public. I think it was eventually leaked, but he started off keeping it private and went to the Washington Post, said to them, you got to hire some voices that aren't from the fucking left.
Yeah.
And you've got to try to report the news factually, because you guys are costing me huge amounts of money. He's basically bankrolling the Washington Post because they have lost subscribers hand over fist. They are not making any money.
Yeah.
And Jeff Bezos, who's also been very warm to the Democrats, which he's allowed to be. He's a private citizen too.
Exactly, yeah.
He said, guys, you've got to at least try to be a little objective if you're a news service, you know. And the staff are having a shit fit. They are wailing, gnashing their teeth, pulling out their blue hair, changing their genders back and forth 5 times in a day.
Showing in their rainbow underwear.
Yeah, showing off their rainbow underwear, like complaining about everything, screaming fascist and Nazi and dictator into the air, hoping someone will hear them. Three members of the editorial board resigned. Three members of the editorial board that none of us would know or care about. But mm-hmm. I thought it was worth mentioning them.
Well, and it's weird that, you know, people from the left would be so not willing to hear other people's opinions. Because surely if you're liberal and you're like that way inclined, you're just like, well, look, I mean, let me...
What are you, from the 90s? You are.
I am, yes.
Yeah, that was what it was like when we were in starting off in radio in the 90s.
Yeah.
The people who were open to free speech and hearing opposing views were on the left.
Yeah.
It's totally swapped over now.
So now people are just like, listen, we just have to, you have to let people do what they want.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, the left is now the party in every country, right? The left is the side of the political spectrum that wants control.
Mm.
They don't want differences of opinion. They're the ones who say, if you say something they don't like, it's disinformation.
And then you get canceled.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got good news on that front.
Okay.
That era is coming to a crashing halt.
The cancel culture vibe.
I think so. I mean, there have been a couple of stories about me in the last few weeks. I had to be told about people they were even going on.
Oh, okay.
Which is a good sign, because that means nobody cares, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's about like who's canceling you and then what do they do for you that you care so much about that they cancel you.
So, James, you got that picture of that fake news story that they put up? Here we go. Okay, I don't know who Briefly is. It can't be a serious publication.
Okay.
It's one of these online, it's like The South African, which I think is run by angry expat South Africans in Perth or something.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a bunch of really out of touch people.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gareth Cliff ruffled a few feathers when he weighed in on Rachel and Sia Colisi's divorce. Clip in the comments.
Okay.
So,
can you click on it? Is there anything?
You go to it and it's our clip that we put together as a promo for the show, which is me going, I don't care about this. None of my business. This is a couple that's going through a divorce.
Yeah.
Now, how's that ruffling feathers? Like, surely ruffling the feathers is all these nosy people who want to be involved in a relationship that isn't theirs. How's that a story? And by the way, it's not a story. Because I think there were like 5 likes on the story.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, at least now we've given it credence and now maybe there'll be more.
No, like, it's got credibility now. Massive credibility. But honestly,
Briefly, so we can give them more.
It's a nonsense publication. The other fake news was when I talked about the One Direction dude and that caused a whole lot of outrage.
Mm.
I mean, none of it changed anything. So what I'm saying is that I think cancel culture is over. I think it's done. I think nobody cares. You could scream, oh, the other one was this morning I posted a thing on X Twitter on Monday because Warris was on the show with me.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And we were talking about Michelle Obama, who I call Big Mike. Okay. Big Mike was out there campaigning for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And I posted this on X because I don't care really.
Yeah.
And there were apparently a couple of people who were saying, oh, you sexist and racist and all the rest of it. And then some other dude, this is my favorite comment of the morning. Someone, again, I woke up to someone sending this to me, but it has no effect
exactly
on anything. It's just people commenting. So I saw this morning, which made me laugh. It was, I said, surprise, surprise, Big Mike voted for Carmela, right? And I tagged Warris. And then some guy called Rele Bujile says, everyone calling Gareth racist over sexuality jibe is conflating issues. Gareth is making fun of this dude, not the race. With a picture of Michelle. So nobody cares. Get over it. We're back to the era of being able to make fun of each other.
Yeah.
If you want to make fun of me, go ahead. I'm all for it. I love it. It makes life interesting. In fact, all my friends, one of the things we love about each other is that we could take the piss. You remember those days, Joe?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think also we've got such an issue of self-importance that we think whatever we say could get us canceled or no one gives a shit. Like,
I
honestly,
think those
like,
days are done.
Like, I mean, even like you say with the whole Rachel and Sia story, the fact that you mentioned
you have
like
an opinion on that, by the way.
Well, I mean, I for me, I'd like to applaud them because I know that divorce is not an easy thing to go through because,
there we
and
go.
Also like being in a marriage that doesn't work is also not an easy thing.
Don't
to
worry,
go
headline in briefly tomorrow. Yeah. Joe Mann says divorce is good. Watch.
Well, I mean, it is. I've tried it twice. I can say
you've done two.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do the second one now, but and that's the thing, and that's, you know, because it's hard to go through life with someone that you don't want to be with,
yeah.
and or go through things that you don't want to go through together. So for someone who's in such a high profile place, or people who are in high profile places, to be able to go through that, you have to applaud them because there's so much pressure for them to kind of stick together and do all that sort of stuff. That's so my opinion is like, if they've thought it through, and I'm sure they have it.
Yeah, of course.
That they go
they've got kids. They, you yeah, have to think
exactly.
about these things.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't want people to, no, we want them to stay together. But who are you? You don't know what
exactly.
goes on in their
lives. They must stay together because some housewife in four ways loves rugby. What are you? Are you completely fucking insane? You want two people you've never met
exactly.
to stay together for you two so that you can enjoy the,
so you
the
can
rugby
have hope.
On it? Like, what the hell? Is this what your life has come to? You need to drink more Chardonnay, Sharon.
What happened to them? They look so happy. That's always the thing that people say about, divorced people.
Because you read You magazine. Yeah. The problem isn't them, it's you. Don't you understand?
Like, that's why you read the magazine.
If you read bullshit websites like we were talking about earlier, or you actually buy, I don't know anyone who's bought a magazine in years, by
yeah,
the way.
Exactly.
But if you are one of those people, because they're on the shelves,
yeah,
someone's buying them, right? I don't know if they're making, it's like the Washington Compost. You either, they're just surviving, like there's someone really rich keeping them going.
Or it's old people who just like, who
it's old people. They haven't discovered the internet yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So you go on there, and if you see those pictures, which are taken by a professional photographer, you're like, these people look so happy.
They're so well-dressed.
These are the kind of people, by the way, who would go onto a prostitute's Instagram page when she's living in Dubai and go, she looks so happy. Wow, she's got such a great life. She's so happy. They don't see the pictures of afterwards where she's lying in the bed going after, you know, some sheik has had his way with her or whatever.
Yeah, you literally don't know what the shit she's been through.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I think Jacaranda are going to be upset with you. No. Joe Mann is with us. We're having some fun on a Wednesday morning. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about these U.S. elections. It keeps coming up, and I'm sorry if you find it boring and irritating.
Mm.
Then all I can do is just warn you in advance. I'm going to be on this page for Manashewitz. I'm going to be talking about this until at least Friday next week, and probably a bit further too. On Wednesday, I must just check.
Mm.
I want to actually take the whole day on Wednesday.
Okay.
I think someone scheduled a goddamn meeting for me, but I'm going to have to get out of it because I'm going to sit at home with snacks in front of the TV watching those results roll in. I can't wait. Yeah, Wednesday the 6th. They've gone and put a meeting in the middle of the 11 o'clock, which is exactly when we're going to start seeing like important
results.
This
is a big thing for you because I
love it.
Like, you like watching.
Okay.
As it rolls through the commentary, you'll probably have three different TVs.
I do. That's what I did last time. I had three TVs. You have snacks. You can invite other people around.
Drinking games.
That's always fun, but not during the day on a Wednesday.
Well,
so I'll leave the alcohol out.
Okay.
But it's the best spectator sport in the world.
Yeah.
It really is. This is the excitement that I've been waiting for. So I'm going to have to try and cancel that meeting. I'll see what I can do. Loving the show, as always, says Pat. But yeah, Pat's also one of those people who apparently reads You magazine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't want to disparage Pat, but there we go.
Sorry, Pat. And look, I mean, so basically this is like the Super Bowl for you, this U.S. elections. Because I remember last time, it was like, again, 20 years ago when the popes were changing and they had to change the cardinals. And I mean, I remember you loved that. And we were all waiting for like the puff of black smoke. That hasn't happened in a while.
In fact, when they renewed my contract at the SABC, I edited in like smoke coming out of the top of the SABC building. I was like, Habemus Papem.
Cardinal Gareth Cliff has been elected and rechosen.
It's so great. 6:30 must be a cutoff for the US elections. No, they're going to take so long to count this one because there's going to be all kinds of skullduggery, mail-in votes.
Exactly.
Just wait. Since George W. and Al Gore, every election is basically contested.
Yeah.
They all like, no, I won. No, I won. No, I won. No, I won. That's how it goes. So it's going to be fantastic. This is the greatest season of America I've ever been a part of. Assassinations. Endorsements, non-endorsements.
Being senile.
Senile. Fascist rallies, people being replaced at the last minute.
Yeah.
I mean, what an exciting game.
Well, I mean, it has been strangely exciting, but the fact that someone can say, look, I mean, I'm not well enough to govern the country for the next 4 years, but then we also just leave them in office.
No.
Like, we also know, like, so
right
it's like,
now,
it's like
as
the last
we're, right
injury
now,
time.
Right now, Joe Biden is in charge of the nukes. Right now. That guy who doesn't know whether he's a teapot or a hockey stick is right now, Joe, in charge of those buttons. He could have like a bad moment, a senile moment, right?
A senior moment.
You call it senior, I say senile. He has a senior moment now, rolls out of bed, opens that suitcase and presses a few buttons and fucking Rush is gone. Has anyone thought about this?
He could have pressed the wrong button because he just, got out of bed and he thought he was going to pee.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to press a few buttons. Let me see if I can look up how Kamala's doing on the polls.
Yeah.
Click, click, click. Boom. The whole Northern Hemisphere is finished.
And basically, we're saying that that's okay for like a man who's that old to just carry on. We're like, look, we're
sure. The important thing is that you're not
leader of the free world.
The important thing is you're not out there. And by the way, he is campaigning for Kamala. He's causing huge shit because they don't actually want him out there, right? Kamala's campaign is
put
the old man back in his coffin and let's just carry on, please. But he keeps going out there. He like went to Pennsylvania of his own volition because he's feeling left out.
Yeah.
And he's like saying dumb shit that's going to put her back even further. He called all the Trump supporters garbage just yesterday. Garbage. Remember when Hillary said, it's a basket of deplorables, and it caused endless shit because they reckon that could have been one of the things that cost her the race, is that independent voters are like, well, that's a bit mean and unnecessary. Yeah. These are your fellow Americans.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think they should put him on, like, they should get Joe Biden, maybe like Facebook free mode, where you just play around, and they should give him like a media circus that runs with him.
So he thinks it's real. So he thinks it's real. It's like...
So he says all this shit, and then we're like, oh, we go.
And they just delete the file. They got like a fake media team with cameras and lights and all. Say, he won't know the difference.
You see, I come up with great ideas all the time. Yeah.
Mr. President, what do you have to say?
Well, I got a lot to say. And the hairs in my legs and corn pop and I like to swim on Delaware Beach.
Still around.
Where's my wife?
Mr. President, she's just popped out to the shops.
Oh, I think I shat my diaper.
Okay, well, thank God this is not live.
I don't think we're going to keep this one.
Delete this one. Me and my Hunter's in the background high as fuck. He's like doing lines off the surface. Hunter Biden's there. Like, Dad, are you okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. What's
you
that?
Wanna hit?
You want to hit? You see why I say this is the greatest entertainment, right?
Yeah.
What a show. So I see some South African general was in Moscow.
Okay.
And there was a like a laying of wreaths at some memorial for World War II or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm pleased to report, for those who haven't seen the clip, that our general was as fat as the Russian general, which is good. And neither general could march properly, but the Russian soldiers marched very well.
Okay.
Have you seen our presidential guard? Not so great by comparison.
No, I haven't seen what they look like. But look, I mean, I think South Africa's army is not the greatest. I mean, I think we basically refer to as the Mabenas. That's like the army from that one clip where there was like the training and then the guy just couldn't get over the balustrade or whatever it was that he needed to get
the
over.
And
yeah, then now, ever since then, every time you do
not
something
the clumps
disappointing.
From the like, Nutty Professor.
Yeah. We are now the Mabenas. Mabena, disappoint me again,
oh,
Mabena.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know. I saw I was filling up with petrol yesterday and I saw a guy in army uniform.
Mm.
And he's not running. He's not doing any running.
He's not running. He isn't jumping over anything.
Not jumping over anything. If that guy's here to defend us, we're in a lot of trouble. Luckily, no one hates us. You know, I keep saying this to people who are very down on South Africa. Mm. Oh, well, the government and national unity is never gonna work. And the country's terrible, and the economy, and this, and unemployment. And I go, the best thing is that all of this shit going on in the Northern Hemisphere is not our problem.
Yeah.
No one is asking, wait, before we decide what to do, let's ask Cyril. No one.
Yeah.
Right? There's no one in the world. There's no world leader at the moment who's going, just hold, guys, let me just get hold of Cyril and just check that he's on board with this. No one.
Don't you love that shit?
They don't
as well?
Care.
When people are like, we strongly condemn this. And you're like, do you think that the people who are in the wars and fighting really care? They're like, oh shit, if it's South Africa that strongly condemns the action, well, fuck me. Now
yeah,
we go.
That's
now exactly. We have to do something.
And so we're back to the endorsement thing because Jeff Bezos's paper, the reason they've had this fallout is because the Washington Post wants to endorse Kamala. They want to make a public statement that we're backing Kamala. No one in the United States, especially not undecided voters, is going, hold up, guys. I got to wait for Barbara Bush and the Washington Post. Otherwise, I can't vote. Said no one ever. No one's sitting there going, well, you got to wait for the South African Foreign Affairs Department to let it. There's the Bush family. Okay. So in the middle, now this is when they were all alive. There's a lot of these people are dead now.
So George W., he's the one in the middle.
W, you'll recognize.
And then H is on
now,
the right.
Now, W's wife is on his, that's Laura. That's
his wife. Okay.
She's on his right.
Yeah.
Okay. On his left is his mother, Barbara Bush, the granny.
She's the one with the pearl necklace.
She's the pearl necklace and she was against drugs.
And the hairstyle hasn't changed.
Well, I think she's dead now, so it's definitely not changed.
Well, yeah.
And then George H.W. Bush is next to her.
Okay.
He was the former president. He was president number... He was president in the early 90s. He was before Bill Clinton.
So he was the Kuwait president, basically.
He was there from when Reagan left in, I think, 88 or 90 until 94.
So he only had one term, basically.
Well, 92. Sorry, he went to 92. He went from 88 to 92. 92 was Bill Clinton and so on and so on.
Yeah.
You know, then after Clinton, it was W. After W, it was Obama. After Obama, it was Trump. After Trump, it was Biden.
No.
After Biden, it's going to be Trump again.
It's going to be. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if America is going to vote any other way, sadly.
So Barbara, the daughter, is the one sitting up in the gold dress on Laura's shoulder. That's Barbara Bush.
It's another Barbara Bush.
Yeah,
okay.
That's Barbara Bush, the younger. And then there's the other daughter who I really wanted to marry at a certain point.
Okay.
She's in between W and his mother at the back there.
Is she the one in black?
Yeah, she was actually on TV for a while. She
like
had a TV gig or something. And then, by the way, there's Jeb, very low energy.
Okay.
Low energy Jeb. He's sitting he's sitting closest to us on the far right of the picture.
Okay.
And then there's other Bushes, but there's a lot of them. All right. That was in the red room at the White House while George W was still president.
There's a very dark bush on the far right-hand side.
There are some darker bushes. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
There are some of the bushes are married Hispanic men and women.
Okay.
And I think there's even a black bush.
Okay.
Wow. But that black bush is not in this picture because that was still in the old days.
Okay, yeah, so he was now, carrying, of course, the cutlery.
Now, of course, he would be running the show, right? Because, like, now that would be very good for the Bush family. But anyway, yeah, in case you were wondering, the chick in the gold dress is now endorsed Kamala, which is very good news for Kamala Harris. Okay. You know, the other thing about the U.S. elections is it tells you quite a lot about celebrity culture and, like, Bruce Springsteen announced this morning that if Donald Trump wins, he's going to leave the United States. Oh. This happens every time.
Okay.
Barbara Streisand, another firm favorite of mine. Barbara Streisand, who, by the way, is so kooky that under her house in Malibu, in the basement of her house in Malibu,
yeah,
she has an avenue of shops that only she shops in. And everything has a price tag on it, even though she already owns it. Okay, and she's got antique shops, dress shops, a hair salon. It's all in the bottom of her house. Like,
that's
kooky, right?
Well, that's very weird. And also, like, do you then fire people when the shop doesn't do well? Because, like, sorry, you're not making sales. We're gonna have to let you go.
But please, Mrs. Streisand, at least open the shops up to other people. Can't just be you. We can't rely on you, Mrs. Streisand.
And you already own the stuff anyway, so, like, yeah, it's weird.
She's a total nut job, but she's gonna leave America. She said this, by the way. She said this with George W. Bush.
Okay.
She's like, if he wins, I'm leaving. Well, she's still there in Malibu with her shops. Okay. So
Well, thank God for the Spanish people who are downstairs living there and like basically manning the shops. Yeah.
You shut up, Anastasia. You shut up and man the shop. Sure, Mrs. Streisand. I'll just do. Why do these Mark Ruffalo, Hulk, he said, oh, you know, if Donald Trump wins, I'm gonna have to leave the country.
Oh.
So, but then do it. Like, actually do it and go to somewhere terrible.
Yeah.
Go to somewhere that's really hard to live. Then we'll go, well, next time we'll listen to this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's put himself through hell. He must know something.
But also, like, if you do leave, then what does that do for me as a citizen of the country that Barbara Streisand and Mark Ruffalo are going to leave if Bush wins or if Trump wins? Like, I mean, how does that help me decide? Because, I mean, sometimes... I mean, when I came to vote as well, I mean, I hadn't really decided, and I was like, you see all these names, and then in that moment, you're like, shit, I can't do without another Hulk.
Without
another Hulk.
Yeah, what are we going to do if they don't make another Hulk movie, another Avengers movie where the Hulk keeps changing from?
And I haven't been to Vegas to see Streisand, so I have to vote.
And by the way, this Streisand, Barbara Streisand, I got another bone to pick with you. She keeps announcing, not that I would go to any of these because I absolutely cannot stand her. But she, every 2-3 years, she announces a farewell tour. And you're like, but your last one was a farewell tour.
Yeah.
I think there's some little bug in these people's heads on a string. And when election time comes, the string pulls tight, the bug falls off, and they just lose their marbles.
They just keep going.
It's very bizarre. So a couple of people talk the talk but never do the walking, says Judas. Quite right. You can go and squat in their houses if they leave. You don't want to squat in Barbara's house because Barbara Streisand's house. See Barbara Bush, Streisand. A lot of Barbaras. Exactly. Send him to Lagos. He can do some Nollywood films. Samuel L. Jackson also said that if Trump wins, he's moving. The last time Trump won, he's still in the U.S. Correct.
Yeah.
Percy says, shopkeepers be like, oh, look, it's Barbara Streisand again. Oh, God. The brainwashing about making Trump like Hitler and the rally being a Nazi rally. Unbelievable for people who truly fall for it. Yeah. Listen, Patrick, that's happening, man. Sugar Shabalala says, where is Mapelo? It's past 6:30. He's in the comments here, I think.
Okay.
Congo Chris says, I was undecided until Hulk Hogan endorsed Trump again. Who's waiting for these people? You know, they are so convinced that they're important. Bob De Niro. The last good movie, Robert, before he started doing like these bad grandpa movies with Zac Efron. Okay, which are just so embarrassing for a man who's well known for Taxi, for the
Heat and the
Heat.
Godfather.
I mean, like the Godfather movies. This is Bob De Niro.
Yeah.
He used to be one of the most talented actors in Hollywood. And he stands up at his steps to his house or something. And there's cameras and
yeah.
You see, these cameras shouldn't be there because that's what convinces them people want to know.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this motherfucker. He's like angry, right?
Okay.
Swearing. He's like, that Donald Trump is a piece of shit. And he's like this grumpy, angry old man. And you're like, why are you doing this, Bob?
Yeah.
You've got money. He owns like the Nobu restaurants and things.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a good life. He's got this hot black wife who's much, much younger than him.
And much hotter than him,
obviously. Much hotter than him. I mean, he stopped being hot in the late 70s, all right? But just enjoy your life.
Yeah.
You know, not everything is political. And I don't understand these people who make everything political. I think they don't have enough going on in their lives.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, sometimes you just like, you just see things and you're just like, okay, I can let that one slide.
Fight's worth fighting.
Yeah, I mean, and the world doesn't need to know my opinion about absolutely everything. I mean, some stuff you can just say to your friends at a braai. I mean, you don't need to put it up on Facebook and in case you're also talking shit as well. Because sometimes, you know, because some of our opinions are not well informed. And we haven't researched the stuff, and then you go and say things on X or on Facebook, and then you think that that's the most important thing in the world, but you actually don't know what you're talking about. At a braai, you can get away with it because people
At a braai, you can. So Sila says that nyaupe that Barbara Streisand uses is very unique. Look it up. I'm not making that up. Hey, she's got an avenue of shops under her house.
But I mean, and these are like real shops with like names and like.
See if you can find a picture of that, James.
Barbara
Streisand's avenue of shops under her house. America is still the only country that I'm aware of that drag out celebrities for public endorsements. Such a warped perception of how voters think. Oh, no. You remember, like, there was a time here in South Africa where the ANC brought out, like, a whole lot of people to sing and do performances and support them.
Yeah, I mean, and didn't people get in trouble at the SABC for endorsing, you know, or like, you know, speaking at rallies or like just attending a rally or just being seen in like.
Well, I remember one of the reasons that I eventually left is because they wouldn't let me interview Julius. And it was 2014 and they were coming in as a new party.
Yeah.
They ended up being the third biggest party then.
Yeah.
You know, now they're not having such a good time. No. But political fortunes.
It happens. You know?
They go up and down. But I've never endorsed anyone. I've told people who I voted for, but I've never endorsed anyone and said, this is my guy or this is my girl. This is the person I'm supporting.
And even if you do, it doesn't mean that you must tell other people to do the same thing. I mean, if I tell you who I'm voting for.
Listen, exactly, you might come here to laugh. You might come here to learn something. You might come here to just hang out and have fun.
Yeah.
But if one of my friends who I just drink and party with suddenly said to me, you know, I'm very seriously thinking about voting for Action SA. I'd be like, that's great for you.
Yeah. I mean,
but I don't want to hear anymore.
You're going to be like, now that you've mentioned that, I mean.
Yeah. So one of the shame, I saw one of my friends actually posted this. It must have been somewhere in the Caribbean, Rod Stewart. Performing. I mentioned Bruce Springsteen and Barbara Streisand. These are all like washed up.
Yeah.
These people should be enjoying their lives, like I said about Bob De Niro.
And they've made enough money.
Their money. They've got grandkids.
Yeah.
You know, they just give it up now. You can
look
go
after
and,
the grandchildren.
Grandchildren. Joe Biden too. Like you even you could argue Donald Trump. It's like enough now.
Yeah.
Go and let the young people take over. The boomer generation just will not let go. Bruce Springsteen was performing. He did the worst version of one of his songs. And I thought, you know, someone has to go up to these people. And I know that they're not going to listen because it's like try and tell your parents something when they're in their 70s. They're not going to listen to you.
Yeah.
But you got to try anyway. You got to go, listen, Bruce, you are the boss. You have this brilliant record. You've the fucking E Street Band. You were the coolest guy once.
Yeah.
But now it looks bad. I want to show you this clip of Rod Stewart. And I love Rod Stewart, okay? Yeah. I think he's great. I think Rod has made an awesome contribution. He's had more sex with more women than anyone else on planet Earth except Julio Iglesias. Yeah. And maybe a couple of NFL stars.
Yeah.
But honestly, This is terrible. Rod, you should have stopped. Like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to. Even if there are people who go, oh, Rod, just one more concert.
Are there no financial advisors for these guys? I mean, are they doing it for the money?
They don't need the money. Rod, he owns
so they can retire.
Castles.
They can retire.
Yeah, Rod. Rod could be sitting in absolute luxury, being fed porridge by 19 naked women, a century younger than him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to worry. Fine. He doesn't have to worry about anything. Look at this clip. This is just. Oh, I find this so sad. I don't want to see this because I care, Rod. It's because I care. It's because I really give a damn.
See you, leave me, baby.
That is hard to watch.
Okay, so you have to get past the three 25-year-old women singing as backup singers and just wonder how much they have to put up with from Rod after the show. He's like, oh, you look really good.
And also, I mean, the band has to be pretty sharp as well, because, I mean, with the band, they have to follow what he's doing. And if you don't know where Rod is going with this, then
Rod doesn't know where Rod's going with this.
That's why he's like, come sing. Oh, yes.
Please don't mistake this for ageism, okay? I'm a fan of some of these aging rock stars. I am. And I've seen some of them in concert and I thought, wow, he's still got it.
Yeah.
But then there comes a point where they don't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be better for their dignity.
And for their legacy.
And their legacy. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. You get it. Their legacy and their dignity. To just retire the thing and be forever young. Right?
How
right?
do you sing that when you're like
you
in diapers and like, and you're actually getting those bow legs that older people get?
You saw what he was doing there. And the music kind of, you can see the band is trying. There's someone in the band going, Rod, come on, give us a cue here. He's like, baby.
And then he forgets his words. Then he asks the people to sing along to be like, what's the word that's coming up in my song?
Guys, like, I don't want this to be misinterpreted by Briefly SA or the South African or any of these other amazing publications. All right. I love these people.
You love these, old people too.
I love these singers. I do love old people. I was regaling the audience with stories about going to a 90-year-old's birthday where I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed. And she's got so much energy and she's amazing. But performing a rock song, got to have a little bit of, it's an energy thing, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't know if there isn't a point where people must go, I'm going to throw in the towel now. And you've got this amazing discography. You've got this great, because YouTube, you see, unfortunately, the problem is people will go on YouTube. And instead of seeing his performance back in 1983 at Wembley, they'll find that and they'll go, what are these people talking about? You know, some Gen Z will look up Rod Stewart because someone mentioned the name and they're like, who the fuck is that? And they'll look him up and that'll come up.
And that's what they see.
And Rod, you don't want that. I don't want that. But nobody wants that.
But I think the problem is that people also don't have money in their prime, because that's the only reason why people are going to these concerts, because it's like, well, I'm going to go to a Bruce Springsteen concert now because I'm 50 and I want to see the boss. And that's the only time.
So they don't have money in their pride.
You know,
you're saying the fans.
You see, exactly. It's the fans that don't have, and that's why the fans keep going. And I mean, like, who, like you're saying, who wants to see Rod Stewart at this time? The people are just as old as
wait,
him.
I'm just getting a message now. Rod Stewart has just endorsed Kamala. So now we can.
Now we're going.
Everything's going perfectly. Okay. Oh, Jesus. So bad. All right. You wanted to talk about something which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Joe's got a whole agenda this morning, by the way.
Well, I mean, I've got stories to tell. And I mean, I've always just been someone who's not been afraid of just talking about the shit that goes on in my life. Because
you don't have to sell this to me. That's why we got you here this morning.
Yeah. Right?
So catfishing is apparently on a whole different level now. So I'm not on any of these dating apps or anything because I've heard from all of my friends what an absolute shit show it is.
Yeah.
And I even spoke to someone the other day who said to me he was sitting at a restaurant where he'd arranged to meet this girl who had like matched with on one of these apps. And he waited and he waited and he waited.
Mm.
Nobody came. And then he messaged her afterwards. And that's where she revealed she was actually a he.
Oh, wow, okay.
He was probably stalking around the restaurant anyway.
Yeah, just to see like if you're gonna come, and it's weird that people do that kind of stuff. But I mean, so I've been through it, and I mean, it's a recent thing, and it was terrible because
you're on the market again.
No, well, not anymore now. But
I thought we'd do a selling job. Let me try here.
So I mean, it was actually a friend of mine, and the weird, sinister thing is because I was actually trying to help her out, and I'm like, okay,
so what happened?
So I bought a car that I was gonna then use like as a bolt, and then I was like, okay, you know what? But let me help a friend out because she's in need and she wants to like rent a car. Obviously, credit is bad and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
And I was like, well, let me just do that for the person. But then she came up with this mastermind plan that because I was like, oh, I'm looking for a girlfriend. Don't you know any like hot young Indian girls who work at Janisa? And I was very specific, and she was like, I got you. And she literally came up with this person, and from then it just became this thing where I'd speak to who I thought was a person, but it was actually her just switching WhatsApp profiles.
Oh, so this chick was taking you on a ride?
Yeah, basically, just so that.
And this is a friend of yours that you were going to help with a car.
I was helping her with a car, and I mean, it went on for 3 months, and it was like, and it got weird, and it just and the things that she did to.
So she was bullshitting you that she was someone else.
Yeah. So that she could like sort of placate me when I need to like, listen, where's the money for the car? And then, but I'd be like, oh, well, but luckily because, you know, you've introduced me to this girl. Now
but
I'm
did
not
you,
gonna...
you never got to meet the girl, obviously.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
did you have a video call or something every now and then?
No, but that's the thing. That's why it's
got to do the video
suspicious.
Call. I've heard. Because at least, you know, you can't put on filters and you can't use fake pictures. Yeah. A video call has to be video.
Well, look, the genius thing
How
about
long did
this,
she string you along, you moron?
I'll admit it. Like I said, for a whole 3 months that this thing went on. But the genius of the terribleness of what she did was the story behind it. And she kept coming up with more and more backstories about why I can't see her. Why
she must be good at this stuff because you're not an idiot.
No, exactly. Well, I mean, and also, you know, you have to play towards people's sensitivities. And when someone mentions that they were raped and almost murdered and stuff like that.
Oh, Jesus. So she was playing a proper deep fake game.
Yeah, a proper deep fake. And I was like, no, I ended up at a mental hospital because I need to deal with this. And then I'm like, okay, well, that's why you can disappear for 3 days.
But you still were willing to try with a girl who's checking herself into a mental hospital. You're a braver man than I.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about it in that, like, you know, if you're brave enough to check yourself into a mental hospital to do better because of what you'd been through. But yeah, so I was like in my mindful state, in my very mindful place of like, this is what I want. Yeah.
Bitcoin Boot wants to know, how did you catch her?
It was actually through a mutual friend. Who like because then other things started happening in her life as well, and then we're just like, but some of these stories just don't make sense. Like she's always talking about this, and all of them are around money issues. You know what I mean? So that was the thing, and then afterwards, I just started just putting two and two together that no, this doesn't make sense. And every time it's you're supposed to call, oh sorry, my mom is this, or no, I'm going into a meeting now, and yeah, then it was just a weird experience, and yeah.
Sugar says, hot Indian girl from UNISA. Send her to jail, says Percy. Diddy says, Dear Bobby on Netflix is such a sad catfish story. Have you watched that?
I did.
I heard about it for the first time the other day. Someone was here on the show. They told me about this Dear Bobby thing.
Sweet Bobby, yeah.
Sweet Bobby.
Yeah.
I did watch Baby Reindeer, and I was just like freaked out by that. There's a lot of people who are very, very desperate for love, huh?
Mm.
A lot of people who desperately need someone in their life.
And a lot of people were willing to take advantage of that. But the weird thing about watching Sweet Bobby was I was watching then with my new girlfriend, and we were watching it at her house with the kids and stuff. And just the similarities that I was like, oh, the Indian girl. And then in Sweet Bobby, it's an Indian girl who's getting scammed. And then the Indian girl just happened to be a radio presenter. So, yeah.
Too many
touch points. Yes, and that's why I thought, you know, let me just get out in front of it and talk about it and just be like, well, you know, there's the shit that happens out there.
Okay, so Conga Chris says, you need to up your game. 3 months and no nudes? What the hell? Sure.
Well, I mean, also, but
how much airtime did you buy her, says Slippery Pickle?
But that's the thing, not a thing. it was all a ruse about getting the car not to be paid for, basically. So she didn't ask for money. She didn't ask for anything
you
else.
You kind of have to give her dues.
Some sort of credit, right?
She managed to get you to basically give her a car for free.
Mm.
And that's... You got some stones to get that right.
And also, like, you know, the 3 months without nudes is because if someone has been through something like that, then
you can't
like,
ask him for nudes.
You know what I mean?
Like, if she's been through, like, sexual abuse.
I've got scars and shit. And, I mean, that's why I was like, well, let me be the sensitive person.
What a decent man you are.
Well, wow. I mean, yeah. So that's why I didn't ask for nudes, because I thought, well, she'd been through some shit. So, and apparently she doesn't exist. So.
Vincent says, I was chatting to this beautiful woman, and I couldn't understand why this perfect girl wanted to be involved with me. I mean, I look like a damn hyena, so I stopped it. Okay, well, good for you. Deirdre says, Nia Manjo, we seriously need to chat, buddy. I think Deirdre wants to be your next stalker. There are a lot of broke people out there, says Judas. Money is a big thing when it comes to dating.
Yeah.
Bushfelt Butt says, Gareth, we need give Joe Man a show on The Real Network. He's got his own show. He's got a job in radio. He doesn't. Yeah. If he's not angling for a job. Carl says, per capita, Indian women must be the hottest. So many. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, per capita, obviously, because there's more of them than any other population group. But
yeah,
I mean, you listen, again, I may get into some trouble here, but what the hell? We're already,
we're already deep in it
on this show, right? So I will tell you, there are some Indian women that leave everyone else in the dust. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like mm-hmm.
Bollywood,
yeah,
beautiful. Just next level. And one of my friends has a serious thing for like Indian girls. That's his thing. That's just what he likes. And then you're at the opposite end. It's like Mediterranean women. You get those super hot ones. And you get the old grannies with the scarf tied under their
with a little tuft of a beard.
With the hairs. and
Something coming out of the mold. There's always got to be something coming out of the mold.
There's the big hairs coming out of there. I mean, like, you get the two extremes and very little in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, so, I mean, you know, we say that per capita, how many of us have been to India and seen what lies behind the veil of Hollywood?
Come on. What I mean? No, like, it's probably horrific.
Well, and also, I mean, we watched Million Dollar Baby and, I mean, the one about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think there you get to have a bit of a more of an idea.
It's
of
a more authentic experience.
So,
but you know what? That is not what anyone wants. They want the fantasy.
Mm.
They want to be led down a garden path. They want to be promised the world. This is why people fall.
Yeah.
For scammers and catfishing things and all the rest of it on the internet, because they desperately want to believe.
Yeah.
They want to believe it's possible. A guy will wake up. He'll be average looking, maybe even below average looking. Won't have any money, but he'll want to believe that there's some beautiful princess out there in the world who loves only him. And she will do anything to be with him, but he just hasn't found her yet.
Yeah.
And he'll believe anything.
And that's the belief that keeps you going. And that's the belief that keeps the catfishes going.
Yeah.
And the scammers.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bring back arranged marriages, says Congo Chris. Yeah, all right. There we go, for sure. Mapelo says, the hottest? You mean the hottest in their stomachs? Hi, Mapelo, please. Yes, sus. Did we have to go there straight away?
and you thought it was going to be us that was going to get us into ship for the show?
Oh, my God, that's unbelievable. Sure. All right. Now, let's just see here quickly. We got only a couple of minutes to get to the top. But another thing that you're dealing with, and I'm pleased that you are happy to come and talk to us about this here on the show.
Yeah.
Because we like a little vulnerability here.
Yeah.
But people are asking you if you're on Ozempic.
Yeah, I mean,
what's this all about? Have you lost a ton of weight? Look the same as when I saw you a couple of months ago and we were up Pretoria.
I've been, you know, on this whole self-discovery kind of journey. And because, I mean, when things change in your life,
you get that car back, by the way.
I'm hoping to get it back. Like,
oh, when, Jesus.
Well, I mean, soon. You know, I need to get it back. I mean,
instead of going on a voyage of self-discovery, go on a voyage to this chick's house and get your car back.
I'm going to get my car discovered again. But yeah, so I mean, I've been doing a lot of CrossFit and I've been, you know, just doing a bit of gym and stuff. So that was the weird thing that people, like, that's the first thing that people jump to be like, oh, you're on Ozempic. And I was like, how readily is it available? And also, do I look like I've got enough money to get it on the black market as well?
I met two people this weekend who are on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're obviously not diabetic or anything like
that. No, dude, there's nothing wrong with them. They just want it to be much thinner. And trust me, I very seriously thought about it because there was someone I know and she is, she's always struggled with weight things, but never like she's never been obese or like, you know, she couldn't get up the stairs or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But she's looking fantastic at the moment. And about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, she was like, oh, you got to get on this stuff. And I will not. Have you heard about Ozempic face?
Oh, no.
Oh, this is a thing. So this is probably the thing that put me off the most. Apparently, these people who go on Ozempic, it's especially bad for guys. They get these very gaunt, very drawn.
Oh, okay.
You know, I kind of look like
the Luka Modric face.
Modric face. That's it. They get that look. Like they're always hungry, but then they're not because of the Ozempic.
Yeah, or they're willing to sell you something to be able to get.
That's it.
Mm.
So I won't go on it. That stuff, that just put me, the Ozempic face stories, even if they're not true.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. I'm not a pharmacist or a diabetic or any of those things. But I'm like, you know what I can do? I can go to gym. And I think, frankly, it's insulting that people won't give you the credit for losing the weight. They want to give Ozempic the credit.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, but maybe it's because, again, the whole, like, just the truthful thing that, like, I'm surprising myself with the amount that I'm enjoying going to gym. Because before, I just, you know, go around and just be like, I'm okay with this and just, you know.
I love it. Was that an endorsement for the gym from Joe Mann this morning?
It is, yeah. I mean, like, well, I mean, I also don't just go to gym. I go to CrossFit. Apparently, there's, like, a whole difference. Yeah. It's a cult thing about the CrossFit issues and.
I'm quite surprised that you being a CrossFitter took you this long into the show for you to tell me. Yeah, it's like, you know, when someone's a vegan, they just have to tell you right up front. I'm surprised we only found out with 5 minutes. Oh, no, it's 7 o'clock.
Oh, shit. Okay.
End of the first hour and Joe saved the CrossFit thing for there.
Yeah.
But it is a great way to, like, lose weight and get fit. Once you are doing it with people you want to do it with, and I've never done CrossFit, so I can't speak of this. But again, I know people who do. It feels like a cool thing to be a part of, and that makes you keep going.
Well, look, I mean, for me, it's sometimes it gets to be a bit of a lonely experience because, I mean, the person that got me into it, he's also not that serious about it. I'm the one then who took the Kool-Aid and was there. And you know, there's a lot of, like, teamwork and then, you know, I'm the new guy at the gym kind of thing. And I refuse to go to the Oompa Loompa class at 9. I hope they're not
watching. What's the Oompa Loompa class?
Well, I mean, it's like because the 7 o'clock class is like the first team Oaks. Oaks used to play first team rugby.
So then, the 9 o'clock class.
And then I'm the 8 o'clock class. We're like, okay, second team rugby. We can still get it. And then, you know, and then there's the 9 o'clock class. That's
the Oompa Loompa class. I didn't realize there were divisions. In CrossFit, this is great news. Okay, I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah, so I mean, so I refuse to go to the Oompa Loompa class because I was like, even though I'm an Oompa Loompa myself, at the moment, I'm gonna go and find the inner athlete in me. And
you know,
like,
what? We're all learning new things from Joe Mann. All right, we've got to take a break. It's 7 o'clock. I'm gonna give you another cup of coffee with 1.5 sugars.
Yeah,
1.5 teaspoons of coffee.
Yeah,
because we're using that. Shitty coffee this morning and milk. Okay. That's what you want, right?
Yeah,
okay, I'll sort it out. Thanks. Oh, yeah, we'll be back in just a moment. Joe Mann is with us. It is Wednesday. It's almost the end of October. US presidential elections on the horizon. loads of cool stuff to talk about. And we'll be speaking to two filmmakers in the last half hour of this morning's show, finding out about wildlife photography, wildlife video, the kinds of stuff they've been involved in. They're involved in a big project that we want to tell you about. It's very, very interesting. I think you're going to love it. That and more on the way.